That's no moon.
Hello there, and welcome to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. I'm Cockles, and I'm all alone. And by that, what I mean is Andy decided he couldn't be here. Ollie decided he couldn't be here because he's going. Ollie's having his 30th birthday, so we kind of let him off. Jack couldn't be here, Tom couldn't be here, so there's me holding the fort. And so what I did is I decided to get three much, much more handsome and better people to talk Legion with, and I'll let them decide who they're more handsome than and who they're better than. First off, he's been on the show before, so here's his intro. And again, it's all tongue-in-cheek. It's only because his team lost to my what in a football. It's not football, it's Star Wars Legion. It's Severin! How are you, mate? How are you doing?
Hello there, I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm always living the dream when I get to hear that song. It speaks to a little bit of my heart in there. And yeah, it's just happy. Always an opportunity to play that song. He's always happy with me. Are you set for the show? Because on this, compared to the other two guests that we have on, you are the veteran on this show in terms of being on here.
Yeah, so I feel a bit of pressure, but yeah, I can handle that. No worries.
Yeah, so it's all good. The next intro I have, I can't remember what order it is, so I'm just going to quickly remind myself. It's the man. Now, this man, well, what can I say? If he liked a festival, it'd be Latitude. If he drank a coffee, it would be a latte. If he liked going to a country, it'd be Latvia. And I had so many more things I could go in for it, but here he is. That is Flight of the Valkyries. In this case, it's Flight of the Valkyries, to introduce Joseph Austin, who is currently muted, FYI. This would have been embarrassing had you not unmuted yourself for the first time.
Well, no, I realised that. I was hovering over the mute button, so I wouldn't do that. But yes, I mean,
Joe Austin, man of many lats. How are you? Welcome to the show. It's been to be fair, we've mentioned you more times on the show. Actually, not you. We've mentioned your lats more times on this show than we care to remember. So it was bound to happen at some point.
Well, yes, I had to come on at some point and just talk about my lats a bit more. Because why wouldn't I?
Exactly. For some context for the people who don't know the English game or things like that, because now you've taken your lats to Poland, your lats are international. Joe is the man who only ever runs lats. And they fly around and they fly like Ride of the Valkyries, dump out some stuff and then do things. And more often than not, they then die. So that's Flight of the Valkyries seem very, very appropriate.
It is, especially when I just charge them up the table and they're normally dead by the end of turn two.
Sometimes sooner, if possible. So welcome to the show. And so that'll be there. And the last introduction I have. Now, obviously, sometimes when I get a guest on, or we get a guest on, it's kind of like, I've obviously spoken to them a little bit or know of them a little bit, but I don't really know enough. So I have to get a little spies to dig in a little bit deep. So my introduction today is for your intro, Kuvit, is simply because someone said you're a personal trainer. And so have we had Macho Man for Lee Macken last week or last episode? So we can't play that again. So I've gone with this. Because he's a personal trainer, I felt like that might be the right thing to do. So that'll do. Very nice. It's Kuba, and I'm not going to pronounce your surname because I don't think I can. But no, hang on. It's Kuba Bielski?
Bielski.
Oh, so close. So close.
Yeah. It's
thank you. Really close. Welcome to coming on to the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really honest. Oh, no, honest. I really appreciate that that I'm here. No, but I don't know. Was that the Barry White or
not Barry White? It's a team called. The group is. I think they're called YOLO. I was sitting there thinking about songs like "What Can I Do? What Can I Do?" And then I went, "Oh yeah, oh yeah." And I'm like, "What's?" And I literally typed in, "What's the song that goes oh yeah?" in Google, and it went, "It's this by YOLO." And I was like, "Well, I never knew that."
Oh,
so that's how that is now. So forevermore, what happened? That's you fixed forevermore.
All right, okay, I can handle that. But then Barry White would be also nice. But it depends what you want to do with me. You know,
I can. We'll have to see. There's only one instance of someone having two instances of someone having their introduction changed, and that's because I decided I found something much more humorous. And one was Ollie when he went from champion to something else, so that worked out quite well. So the reason we have you guys on is because today we are going to talk mostly things Polish, and I'm going to put a disclaimer out first. I'm going to say some names in this show from Longshanks, and I am going to absolutely butcher them because I'm an English idiot who can't say, or I'm a British idiot who can't say things that are not in an English language. So when I say names, please don't be offended. And this will help where Kuba and Severin first will laugh at my mispronunciations and two, correct me. So I hope that works out. So anyone listening from Poland, firstly, I apologize. Secondly, thank you for listening. But also thank you for listening to our patrons, of which Joe, you are one. Thank you very much. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. I'd give you a hug, but you're not here. So you can just see me going eye contact. See? Thanks. but yeah, no, on a serious note, thank you to everyone who supports us through our Patreon things. It makes everything much more easy to do and publish and get support in. And when we had Chopper Bass in, we got Coco in to do and all this sorts of stuff and blah, 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 blah. So thank you very much for all that. So for those who don't know, Joe, and there's a cat. Cooper's got a cat. Cat Cooper. What is the name of your cat? Your microphone's off, but anyway.
Yeah, my mic's off because this is Berbelek.
Sorry, say that again.
Berbelek.
Berbelek, right?
Yeah, Berbelek. And when you see that, you see him on my tokens and my cards.
Okay. That puts some context. I like that. So we'll go with Kuba. The reason you are on, obviously, is one, because you're a top-notch bloke, and two, because you are you're a pretty damn good player, and three, you won the Polish Galaxy and Fire GT 2 weeks ago, didn't you?
1 week ago, but yeah.
Oh, a week ago.
Almost two, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing Legion for?
2 years and a half, I guess, something like that.
Nice.
And I started on the first March.
Yep.
2023, I guess.
So
before Adepticon, the Adepticon you have to qualify for.
Yes. That Adepticon. And obviously you won the recent event with CIS. Have you always played CIS, or have you played any other factions as well? Anything else?
No. I think I played all factions so far. I think on Longshanks I have this, you know, this collector thing on my side. But yeah, probably I qualified for Adepticon with my Empire list.
Yep.
And I played a lot. Then when I saw the EXDs, it seems to be like, you know, it was amazing list, and people didn't see that for a first time. And when I saw you can, you know, shoot at range 4 with 4 dice, I switched to EXD.
Yep.
And then, you know, Republic and everything, I guess.
Nice.
My only not painted army, it's Rebellion.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm working on it.
That's all right. We're all working on something somewhere. He points at all the models behind me back here in the corner. Which takes me on to Mr. Austin. Joe, how long have you been playing for?
There we go. I'll unmute. So I started in the January before, I think, Ollie won Worlds. So is that 2 years?
So year, it'll be 2 years.
He didn't win last year. He won the year before.
It'd be 2 years in January. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I started then, and then just play clones non-stop, because why would you play anything else other than Jedi?
Well, as a, again, me
and Lats.
Where does your obsession with a lat come from? And I use the word obsession. I'm not being flippant. Anyone listening going, he's exaggerating. It's not an exaggeration. It's an actual thing.
Mainly out of spite. So my partner brought me one for Christmas or birthday, I can't quite remember, and then everybody said they were shit, so I was like, well, I've got to just keep using them just to spite people now.
Okay, that makes sense. I wonder if maybe over the, you're playing like the long game, and one day you will be the champion of us all, and
when I eventually get to the Worlds, I will be taking at least one lat, so
that makes sense. Cool. And where? And you're
in the base.
You're in the circle of missing dogs, aren't you?
Missing dogs and drowned dogs, I suppose. If you've got Mr. Prouting nearby,
if he doesn't stop the floods, they might of things that get flooded, and then the missing dogs from Andy.
Down the river towards Andy, I suppose.
Yeah, this is it. And I should point out that the reason Andy isn't here is not because he's dog napping. He has genuinely gone on holiday. However.
He is dog napping on holiday.
It's all fine. Severin, just to remind us, you've obviously been playing for a little while. You have come over to the UK at least, what, twice? One, two, three times? Four times or three times?
Three times. It was the last Milton Keynes tournament, the current Chopper edition. And with Cuba, we went, however, in two different teams. Went for the team championship in Sheffield. So, this year.
Yep, that's it. So, and you've been playing for a couple of years, am I right in remembering?
I mean, actually, we've started with Cuba simultaneously. So we met at the table at the tournament, the first tournament Cuba won, I believe, in Warsaw. And I was like a very inexperienced player. It was my first tournament. I actually started to play with Franek, my son. So we got involved together. And it's 2 years and a half, similar to Cuba. Cuba remembers precisely the exact date when he started. I started like second part of March. I went to some kind of academy show, when the rules were explained of the game. So we bought the starter. And right now we are much more poor than we were before that academy.
I'm just putting out there that by rights of finishing higher in a tournament, your son should be on here, not you.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean,
and Joe, you should be gone. But this is the way it is. Franek will be on here one day, because he's the child prodigy that everyone's waiting to win Worlds in a couple of years' time. That's what's going to happen. I'm calling it here now. So we're here. We're going to talk all things Polish GT. So the event took place. We're recording on the 21st of October, so it happened, not the weekend just been, the weekend before, so that's the weekend, I think, like 14th, 15th, am I right in thinking, or my dates could be there, but is that
11, 12,
there we go. Actually, you know what, if I looked on the screen and actually put my glasses on, he says, there it is, 11th and 12th of October. And obviously it's called the Galaxy and Fire, a Legion series that you guys have run for, I remember Mickey telling me about it a couple of years ago when I was in Germany, and he gave me a trophy that I completely didn't earn in any way, shape or form other than buying him a few drinks. So I'll take that all day long, and I've still got it upstairs. So I'm happy with that. But you guys had what I would call a mini invasion. And that mini invasion consisted of Joe, Andy and Nav, and I'm just thinking of anyone else from the UK who came over, but no, you also had a guy from, I'm just looking at it, I'm scanning, you had someone from Czechia as well, Son Sobek.
Yes, Son Sobek, yes, it was truly in the international tournament.
Yeah, and said Son, and then there's some flags in there I don't recognise that are slightly green, and I don't recognise unless that must be a region in Poland, but there we go. But you had these guys come over, and we've been saying as a little UK group that we as a group kind of need to travel more, so I'm dead chuffed that these guys went over. Just as a question, did you guys notice that there are any missing pets after when Andy left? No? Not missing dogs? That's okay, that's probably...
No.
He just went to the straight dog time instead then. So that's it. Now, Cooper, as we said, you won. So, let's talk about your list first. I'll go through a list and tell me why you chose it and stuff like that, because it's not your standard... Oh, I say it's not your standard stuff, but it's just got a slight change in that you've got... Dooku. So you've got Dooku with Burst of Speed, Choke and Push. Kalani with Improvised Orders with Sunfac. B1 times 2 with E5S. then two Gene Ocean Warriors naked, two B1s, two Spiders with an Ion Blaster, and two Aquas with the Heavy for 13,000 points. Aquas, we spoke about on the last show. I bloody hate them right now. I get them. I get it. I just hate them right now because they're just a pain to chew through when you have when you don't have the dice roll and that sort of stuff. But you went with Dooku and a couple of Spiders. Talk to me about your list. What's the theory of the list? What does it do really well? And what are you when you get to the table? What are you hoping to play against and hoping to not play against? And tell us a bit about that.
So my list is as you mentioned it was like that. For me the most important thing was the control because I don't feel very good at Legion point 2. So you know it's I really enjoy reactive kind of playing and that list can give me something like that. And most of list with CIS has 12 acts. And I think I needed to have 13 acts. That's why I took Sunfuck and 2x Geos. They are cheap. And they can still make some make some points in the critical moments. So and this list also has a really good order control. And because you have chain, and even with playing standing orders, I think in a pool after standing orders, it was I don't know 5 or 4 orders in the pool. So you know it was quite easy with impro. I just needed to. I was afraid of this, as I mentioned, CIS lists. So yeah, the goal was to just go with Aquas last. They are really strong unit, I think, and because it's not about even amount of dice and stuff on, but they can just easy score your points, and they are you have to make some commitments to destroy all Aquas and not scoring. So I often took a dodge instead of aim. Because I just wanted to stay them on the point and just, you know, to annoy people. And you know,
yeah, that's not fun for when you're playing too.
Yeah. You know, it was the game plan, and that's why I use it. So Kalani needs to be in this list because of reinforcements. And I think I played. I think the final game was against Pavel. You will pronounce it pretty well, Janowski. So yeah, it happens. So we played some test games, and it was the final game, and I was. That was a funny game because I was sure I will easy win because I played against him and it was like, you know, it's easy. He does not have reinforcements and stuff like that. And he almost killed all my units. But because I could score from the first point, from the first round of scoring, it makes some impact on the game. So if you can just, you know, stay on the point and shoot, even with the dodge, so you take some wounds, then yep. Geos, if needed, they will secure some other POIs on my opponent's side of the table. So, yeah, and Dooku, of course, he's a monster. He's a monster. And that was the idea. I need to overactivate. Yeah. My opponents from CIS and I think I could all over activate almost every single list in that pool, except of course Ewoks, and I was really afraid of Ewoks.
If only Andy were here, he'd tell you about his Ewoks. But there we go. So that was your list, and then we'll come to games in a second. So Severin, that's you were running. 7 activations, lucky number 7. Anakin with speed, push, tenacity, and into the fray. Kenobi with barrier, push, vigilance, protector. Bad Batch, 2 naked clone infantries. The Ahsoka big squad. It's not the big squad. It's Ahsoka shotgun, a specialist. So that's the not the comms technician. That's the one that gives you a dodge or a name, isn't it? That one, the tappable. Tenacity, stims, grenades, impact grenades, I should say, and prepared supplies, and then a LAT, which the clone shock trooper pilot, link target array, armor piercing shells, high energy shells, and door gunners. The first thing on this one, another one with a LAT. You're a nutter as well, hey?
I'm sorry, actually, I will interrupt you, because Severin, where is my LAT? What happened with my LAT? Tell me, tell everyone what happened with my LAT.
You have no proofs. You have no video recordings. It will not stand in court, so I will not make any comments on that, on your allegedly having or doing anything to your LAT. This is a funny thing, because probably for the first time in my life, leading life, I've met at the tournament somebody with more LATs than me. because I used to play, at Tropa, I played two LATs. Because I love that unit. I mean, everybody says it's crap and that the cost was decreased during the last update. So I love playing it. I mean, I've started, Kuba can confirm that I've started to play two double LAT, even Legion, before the major change last July. So it was like a taxi for Obi-Wan and Anakin. So I was just going in the middle of the opponent's army with two Jedi's. It was extremely fun. Yeah. It was extremely fun. But yeah, I mean, I like LATs, but I mean, they're not sustainable. I mean, they're down very quickly if anybody shoots them consistently from the very beginning. And if they're not, I mean, they're very useful. They're very useful, but not useful enough, right? Not useful enough.
Whoa. They're very, very useful.
No, they are. They're just not useful enough when you have seven activations, including two lads, right? As they had in Peterborough. I mean, the combination of... have a clone list, right? Okay, so it's a pain in the ass that it's the only unit that defends in white dice. That's right, because you get used to red dice, which are much more powerful, of course. But the combination of door gunner and clone shock pilot, so then basically you can spam with surges. I mean, you can spam with surges and combination with PIP 3 Obi-Wan when everybody gets loads of surges. So both in Peterborough and actually in Warsaw at GT, in two games I was just short of surges. I needed to take somebody's surges from the other table, because I mean, just so many of them. But yeah, I like LAT. It's a great unit.
Yeah.
But I think about changing it a bit for the next tournament.
Well, that's it. So that's your, what does this list do well? And I think I know the answer, but I mean, for those listening, what does it do well? What's the what when you something I mean, on the it, table? What
it,
is it?
Your stuff, and it's hard to keep. I mean, yeah. Basically, the list is it's good at killing, right? It's good at killing, and Obi-Wan. I mean, if Obi-Wan doesn't have a breakdown, I mean, like a serious breakdown, which I had, by the way, while playing with Son. So it took him 7 shots to kill Obi-Wan. So basically, Obi-Wan missed 6 out of first 7 dice and it was gone. So when he doesn't have that kind of a breakdown, which he rarely does, to be honest,
that's rough.
He's a monster. He's a monster. I mean, when you can lock up every single trooper unit next to him. So he's like 40 barriering and guardianing, and it's extremely good. Well, the Ahsoka unit is fun. I mean, this list is fun to play. I mean, you have so different units with different skills, but basically, Ahsoka squad is a suicide mission. So almost every single game, it ends like you have Ahsoka and the shotgun and already used things. So you make like...
Yep, off you go. Go die, but kill things first.
Go die, but kill things first.
Yes, that might get you on that one.
Yeah.
On to the final of our three lists. On to the final of the three lists. That would be... I just have to code scroll.
Yeah, keep going down a bit more, a bit further.
No, oh, there you are. There you are. Do you know how I found you? I had to just look for the British flag.
Yeah.
Right, so another clone. However, 10 activations. Ahsoka with improvised orders, offensive push, force push. Bad Batch, 2 naked clone infantry, 1 clone infantry and RPS. Triple flutters. You're a madman traveling with flutters overseas with the NAS gunner and strike and fade. And then double LAT with the shock troop pilot, bunker busters, armor piercing, spotter uplink, and door gunners. Other than saying, I wanted to play LATs, what was the theory crafting of this list?
It's more spite, I think. because I made this list for the Nottingham GT originally, and then Ahsoka came out, so I was like, oh, I'll see if I can put Ahsoka in there. Because before the Nottingham GT, you had, I think it was James on.
Which was
my thing,
yes.
Yeah, and you once again said that's a shit. And you said flutters are quite good. So I was like, why not take five flying units? And Andy hates playing against it because he can only hit five of my units.
Oh, yes, because Ewoks struggle.
Yeah. So that's the main concept behind it. But what it does quite well is you have Bad Batch, Ahsoka, and three flutters, which can basically just do whatever they want. And Bad Batch will go anywhere on the board. The flutters can do a triple move and dive back POIs or feint one way and then move the other. And just really give people a headache to think, oh, how am I going to deal with all this? And if they shoot everything, they deal with it quite easily. but hopefully some of the cover rolls block it and the white dice turn up.
Put out there, what are cover rolls? Mine never turn up, so there we go. Okay, so those are the three lists that we're featuring at the moment. I will just put a shout out. So the event, the Kuva, obviously you won, and then we'll just do the top eight. So let me just get my glasses on to read the names here, zoom in so I can see the words, and pronounce this horribly. So in eighth running Rebels was Peter Svetlitsky. I'm looking for corrections on these guys if I don't pronounce this. So Peter, I'm going to go with Peter.
Piotr Svetlitsky.
Svetlitsky, there you go. Do you know what's going to be really funny is all the British guys who know me and sitting there going, Cockles is going to absolutely fuck this up, and they're probably laughing right now, so it's quite funny. Then you've got in seventh you've got a droid list, which is double aquas again, but with a crab, and two spiders, so obviously a variant on your one, Kuva, but only with 12. This is David Hermanowicz.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Then you got in sixth a bloke with Ewoks called Andrew Tyrell. Yeah, we'll go with that. So that's
Andy.
Some bloke called Terrell, who he came in sixth running his Ewoks. So what he did, yeah, is we had Nathan on the show who spoke all about Ewoks, and Andy just went, I'm doing that. So basically, he ran 14 actor Ewoks with with Han, Wicket, C-3PO, Leia, pure Bright Tree Village stuff. Then we're coming up to another droid list. This was a droid list featuring, again, double Aquas, but Dooku, but with Asajj. So it's nice to see Asajj playing. And that was Janikowski, Pavel.
Good, very well.
Yes, I'm doing this. I'm cracking this now, right? Then in fourth place with Rebels, 12 acts, you've got Cassian, Din, Rebel Troopers, AT-RTs, and AA-5. You can click on the links to find out more. But Din and Cassian making the top four of an event. Artur Sindler, Madball. Pronunciations, I'm just going to go with it.
Pretty well,
answer.
Pretty well.
I'm going with that, that's cool. Then in third place, a droid list. We have Kalani, Asajj, again, Aquas are quite good. Another spiders, but it was flamers. And that was in fourth, and that was third, and it was Mikhail Lunsak?
Wavnichak.
No, Lunichak, sorry, again. And then in second was Rebels, and it was Bright Tree Village again, and this time a 13 out variant, Sergei Grinkevich.
Yes, very good.
Yay, and then Kuva at the top with his droids. Do you know what's beautiful about your top eight here is Rebels, droids, Rebels, droids, Rebels, droids, Rebels, droids. In perfect harmony. There's no, it's perfect to watch and look at. It's beautiful.
But they're not too strong. Keep scrolling. They're not too strong. They're not too strong. Keep scrolling.
I'm just scrolling down now because the next after that in ninth you've got a clone faction and then two Rebels, and then I'm looking for the Empire, and that's Tobias Duda. Excuse me, I'm giving Camille Bayor.
Camille Bayor.
He ran the clones, and the best performing clone faction was Yoda, Bad Batch, two naked clones, The Ahsoka squad, slightly different to yours, Joe, except it just doesn't have the specialist. Severin just doesn't have the specialist in, and then two arcs with a medic and two barks with an RPS gunner and an AT-RT with a laser cannon at 10 acts. That's pretty cool for Yoda for a clone. And then the best performing Empire was Tobias Duda, and he ran 11 act Empire, Krennic, Kallus, Vader, 4 T7 Iron Star Snow Troopers, Death Troopers, two Duvacs, Death Troopers, and excuse me, triple Duvacs. Do I need to look for Shadow Collective? Yeah, best performing Shadow Collective down in 28th from Jozek Kula. And he ran 12 acts, Pikes, Pike Capo, Maul, Black Sun Enforcers, 4 foot soldiers, Mandalorian Super Commandos times 4 and an AA5 at 12 acts. So well done to all. And they're the best performing factions. Best thing, if you want to have a look through lists, nip on to Longshanks and you're looking for Warsaw GT, Galaxy on Fire, sponsored by AMG, and you should find it in there. It was on the 12th and 10th. So, games. Kuba, you, my friend, played... I'm just going to get your games list up. You played a lot of droids, it seems. Here we go.
Yeah, I played, I guess, 5 mirrors, my match.
Yeah, so you played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 droids of your 7 games. That's insane. So, Roland, obviously, I'd love to shout out everyone on the show, shout out everyone who played all the games, played all the games there, but it's time does not exist. What was your most memorable game in terms of either, it doesn't matter for a reason, but it could be toughness in terms of fun. What game stands out and you go, that lives in your head, that sort of thing?
I think there were 3 games. The second on Sunday when we played, 3 games was really nice. The first was against Ewoks and against Przemek, and I lost him about a month or 2 months ago, and now he just improved his skills and he was playing really, really well. And I was praying just
you
for...
You won 4-3 and you killed 18 points, he killed 0.
83 points, yeah, kill. I was praying just for bunker assault, and I think he just didn't see that I'm able to just block all for my POI with aqua droids trying to kill. And that was tough game because the piece of terrain went, it was with a different piece of, I don't know, some flowers, and we didn't see where we can put our minis, and he just moved and I said, you have no room, and he said, I have room here, and it was you do. And that was a tough game, and I was really afraid of, and it was really close game, and fortunately for me I won. Then against Michał Ławinczak, it was, yeah. I think he's the highest scored player in Poland.
Yeah.
And he won with really strong players before me. And
This is high scoring, just for context, and it's quite close. So you won 14-12.
Yeah.
You managed to get, you did all 6, you managed to get 14-12, excuse me. And the kill points, you killed 289, he killed 227. That's a close game.
It was really close game. Fortunately for me, I saw the plan. It was coming because we were playing Recover the Research, and I think his plan was just to have a draw. How we call it? To have a draw. Yeah.
Yeah. Go for a tie. Yeah. Draw a tie. How are you?
Draw, and he would. He took a bounty on Asajj, and he was trying to kill my Stunfuck. But fortunately for me, we were playing a secondary with scanners.
Yep.
And you know, I put everything into his aquas, and he had a scanner on his aqua. And my goal was to, on the second round, just to deny him from scoring with aqua, with his aquas, and score 2 points with my Dooku with the scanner. And it just go well. And I think there was a shot when I asked Judge if impact is necessary, if you have to take impact, because it was 3 hits, and this aqua, just one aqua stayed on 3 health. And I was, you know, if he dies now, he will pick up the scanner with the B1s, and I won't score it. So I didn't use impact. and then that, Hirol just
is that not a, is it not a May? I thought I wasn't sure.
It is May. It is May.
It is May. Okay.
It is May. Yeah, and he rolled, and he rolled one paint, and after that I had ordinance, and you know I was praying just for two paints, and it went with and that's why I won. So it was I have advantage on the second round with the 3 points, and I knew even if he killed with Ventress, my Sunfuck with Ventress, I think I will win. If I won't screw it up, I will win. And that was really, really special because he's a really skilled player. We played very good game. That was the best game. And a lot of people just came after this game and congratulate me. And the seventh game was pretty, as I said, it was pretty easy. We play against Pavel with some training match, yeah. And I knew how he plays, and but it was close to lose for me.
Yeah, so you won 10. You won 10-9 on that one. You killed 386. He killed 726 of your stuff.
Yeah. It was like, you know, I got advantage on the second and third round, and then I see my army just disappeared, and I was like, oh. I might have trouble, but you know the memorable moment was when he tried to choke my B1s, and I roll three shields, and it was like they're alive. Oh, they're still alive. You cannot choke them because
not happening.
Yeah,
that's fine. Was there a moment in your games that made you go, oh, I done goofed. I made a mistake. What's a big mistake you'd go that you learn from and you can pass on as a lesson to other people?
I think in that tournament, I think I didn't make any mistake, but I made a lot of before tournament. I lost most of my training games that's why I then when I learned, I know I don't want to play close the pocket. I hate this scenario. I just hate it.
Yep.
And I was praying not to playing close the pocket. I played against Adrian Antolik. He was 14. We played close the pocket just to have a training game, and I was close to win. I lost, but that game gave me some information how to play it, but still I didn't want to play it, and
that makes sense.
That's cool. My game.
So moving to a different player now, Severin, over to you. So you had your seven games. You went 5-2. You won your first one, then you lost to a bloke who eats dogs. You then won another one, and then lost to Tobias as well. Lost to Tobias Duda. So tell us about your games. What sticks in your head, and like, what was the most fun game, and what did you enjoy, and all this sorts of stuff? Same questions, but for you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you, Cockles. I will try to be a bit more entertaining than Kuba. joking, but I mean,
does not look happy that you just said that. He's not a happy chappy.
It's always show him what I want to show him after our conversation.
I'm not interested. I don't buy it. Sorry. You know, it's always fun when you play seven activation days because like every victory is valuable, every victory is precious, right? You can win some games, right? I mean, in round two, round one, I was playing a great game with Adrian, who basically is just entering the system. So it was like, we all agreed it's going to be about a training game. But as I spoke with Kuba during the tournament, it's like, 15 minutes! And so it's a draw, and I'm losing on small points. What's going on, right? Because we were playing extremely slow. We're in round three. I'm quite a quick player, and when I have seven activations, it all goes very smoothly, right? So I basically, every other match of the tournament, I managed to reach round five and finish it, right? So like, you're in round three, right? But then, like, we have 15 minutes left. So I saw, it's like, you know, the blink in his eye. It's like, maybe there's a chance. I said, well, no, because I played TP1 Anakin, so he demolished the opponent team, right? But it was a nice game. Adrian's like learning, but very quick learner. So he made some, of course, he made some bad moves, but he made some very brilliant moves as well, right? So it was like a chaotic but very nice match. And then I get Ewoks, and then I get Andy, which was like a great match in terms of like fun and being nasty to each other. But, well, he has 14 activations, and I have 7. So basically, well, I saying, stood...
That little fucker takes 14 activation Ewoks. What an
yeah, but no Chewbacca. No Chewbacca. That was interesting for me. I mean, every single Ewok list I faced before, and I hate them all. Every single Ewok list contained Chewbacca. So yeah, more or less I knew what to expect, and this was something really new for me. So as I said at the end, when I was sending a farewell message to our UK guests, that Andy got promoted in my list on list of my arch enemies. So he's like above Ewoks right now.
He made the list. I like that.
Yes. I run the list. It's pretty long actually.
Are you familiar with the comedy show Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
You know Sheldon's got his list of enemies? I've got you like that now. Just like Sheldon below. Like,
my wife is just watching Big Bang Theory.
great mind thinks alike, right? Yep. So, I mean, the match against Tobias, it was like the most stupid mistake I made throughout the tournament. So it was like, I had one last activation, he had one last activation. And I was just, for some reason, I was extremely tired. It wasn't game 4, but during game 3, I was really extremely tired. And the game was going well, because I managed to kill Vader very quickly. I killed Carlos in the first round, so he made like a very offensive move. So I said, all right, bring it on, right? Because I'm very good in close combat with that list. So it was basically my lad was standing on last HP in my territory, and he had like 2 snows and heavily suppressed, but not panicked, Dubak. So I was more afraid of that. I was more afraid of that Dubak because critical 2, stuff like that, right? So, and we were playing sweep and clear. So if he scores, I'm out. If we draw, I definitely win because I'm ahead in small points. And for some bizarre reason, I decided to kill that Dubak instead of just killing the Ion guy on Snow Troopers, right? So I think I killed that Dubak with my last activation, Bad Batch. So I could split. I could do a lot of stuff, but I didn't. And he killed the Latch with one wound. I mean, just made one hit. I didn't defend it, and that was all. No, and then I lost 4 in a row. I won 4 in a row. I mean, I was 1-2 after 3 games, and then I won 4 in a row. So I would say the Saturday evening social program was really kind for me. So even though we ran it until late. Oh, Joe's smiling. I'm happy. Why? Maybe we're going to discuss that in the later part of the show. The social program was nice, but even though we finished late, I mean, it was good for me. So yeah, the last match was fun. Last match was fun because it was like a player, maybe not new to the system, but getting back to the system, running quite a fancy list with 2 Aquas, Poggle, Magnus, Grievous, and 3 big squads of B2, which are extremely hard to kill, and they have like a superpower.
Yeah.
And I lost activation for round 1. I've made some mistakes. So it's a really nice guy, and Oscar, and we were playing, and until round 3, I believe he was completely sure he's gonna win. And we were playing close the pocket, and I had 2 force pushes. So basically, like, he didn't have a chance to win that match in round 3. But it was a very nice game, and he just like it was really painful to watch him realizing, oh, it was a sequence, but a very nice guy, very nice match. We congratulated each other, very nice atmosphere. But that was a funny match. I played with Franek's friend, his classmate. So Mikołaj is a young, skillful player, but he's like a Red Army, you know, it's like a Soviet troops. Everybody moves forward, so it's fun to play it. He destroyed half of my army, but I managed to win. So yeah, and the match with Sonsabek was fun because I almost lost that match. Son is like a very improving player, yeah. And I almost lost that match. And it mostly happens to me. I mean, I'm on the other side. I've made a terrible, stupid mistake at the end. The last round, last move, I made such an idiotic mistake, and I lose the matches. I can't remember when last time I won because somebody else made a stupid mistake during last activation, and Son did it. Son did it because, like, in last round, he had Grievous and he had pick one, so he was like, you know, throwing lightsabers to everybody, and he had like one single clone. There's one single clone who hasn't activated yet, but very close to the whole situation, Anakin was in combat with Magnus, Magnagars, right? And later on, I realized, or somebody told me, it's psychology, psychological warfare. I mean, he was so afraid of killing that clone because then Anakin will do tempted, right?
Yep.
Which basically he would do nothing because he was in combat with three Magnus, so he will
not
kill them.
It's
not
going to happen. He won't kill them. It's not. I get the psychology, but it's not going to kill him.
Yeah, I mean, you don't kill him because you don't want to activate Anakin's tempted. So I was, all right, I was starting to taking my dice in my bag, finishing basically the game. I lost, right? And he just, all right, I'm not going to attack them. So I have my one last activation, right? This one clone, it's not suppressed. Double move, I secure the point, I won. My one point. So if you kill them, I mean, it would hurt the Magnus in no way, right? And so you have, like, he had me on the plate, and he just, like, missed with the fork.
How many Magnus was it? Three Magnus or a score four?
Three Magnus still alive. So Anakin, all right. Oh, well, of course, Anakin was, he was already hurt, so he had tenacity, but, well, come on, it was immune.
Yeah, I was going to say six red. No, you've got no pierce on that because the immune pierce melee.
I mean, it must have been a disaster. Or anyway, I had a disaster on Obi-Wan not that much, but still it was the like, big mistake of my opponent. That's only why I won.
So, lesson, kids. Play the objective. Do not play the objective. If you know that something's going to score in the final activation or final turn or whatever, and it's going to mean that you aren't going to win, pop that bad boy. That's what I suggest on that one. On that, just before you play. So, just this is a slight digression. I'm it's something that always interests me. So, last week, the weekend just been the Reverend Jeff Porritt, who you guys will know. All that sort of stuff. He actually went to Spain. He's actually been an international jet setter recently. He went to Germany for their thing, and then he had work, and then he went to Spain last weekend and had played in the Spain tournament. Watch this space, as we'll probably have him on to talk about that tournament in the next show, 2 weeks' time. Also, he said, apparently people in Spain listen to the show. Hola, gracias. And we'd like to have you on the show at some point, and we'll talk things in Spain because we've never had someone. We don't think we've had anyone from Spain on, so I'd love to talk to you guys. Please reach out. But no, Son from Czechia. So that's cool. Do you know much about anything? Does he go to you guys to play, or is there a community in there or not, or what? Because I'm always fascinated to know more about other countries. Because we know Poland plays, we know the Germans play, we know that the Dutch are starting to get into it, we know the Danes, Swedes, and etc. We know all the Nordic countries play and stuff like that. But it's nice that the Central European countries sort of getting involved, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So he's like a leader of the Czech community, which is basically pretty small. As far as I recall, he's from Ostrava. It's like a town, a big town just next to the Polish border. So whenever there's a tournament organized in southern part of Poland, like Kraków or Wrocław, so he takes a car and he's like half an hour, hour and a half, and he's there, right? So it's not a long drive. And he travels frequently with his wife, Daniela. She actually always also plays.
She did not
participate in the GT, but remember, Kuba, we were at the tournament in Kraków. So she was like regularly playing as a regular starter. It's very, very nice stuff. And it's like a romantic story of the GT because they were playing together. He was giving the dice, she was rolling the dice. When he was losing, she was, oh, don't worry, son, I'm with you. So it's like, I'm joking, but it was very nice. I mean, I really enjoyed playing with them. And the funny thing is that in Polish, Czech language sounds like little trolls speaking. So it's extremely funny. You don't get like an impression of what they say. So it's like B1 unit, B1 in English. In Polish, Bejedynki. In Czech, Bejedyneczki. And you know, and he plays with that funny accent, Bejedyneczki. Krabiaduczku. And it's like, what's going on? It's psychological warfare.
Have you just done the English equivalent of, you know, like English people sit and go, and like Ollie's an example, right? You know, when he talks and we'd have like, maybe talk about Ireland and he'll go, oh, have you just done the Polish equivalent of mocking another country in the same way England does that with Ireland?
I mean, I'm not mocking. I mean, it's just extremely funny and ridiculous.
I'm not, no. No criticism, mate. It's just nice to know other countries take the piss out of everyone else.
It's an objective opinion. It's an objective opinion. It's not hate speech. It's an objective opinion.
No, I will just...
It's
on a point of order on I was going to say, point of order on that one. Just like, you know, he's saying he's playing with his wife and he's sharing his dice. I kind of... I'm legally obliged to do this.
Ha! Gay!
That makes sense. Sorry.
Yeah, after some roles... The probability of divorce increases, of course, but you know they're very calm. They're very calm about that. It's a great time. I had a great time. I played against Daniela for the first time. She's a great person, and I really enjoyed that match. I was so pissed because I was sure I'm going to lose, and by miracle, he lost. But it was a great match.
I'm going to.
Do you remember when he came first in Poland? He has newborn. Child, I think.
Yeah, we have a little bit.
He was 1 month old, and Daniela stayed him in this. It wasn't so comfortable place to stay in, and she stayed for I don't know 8 hours, you know. And if she killed him, everyone said, yeah, he deserved that, because you know she was so calm, so gentle to him, and she just stayed on this place, and he was playing, and he was just carrying his kid.
That is dedication.
We have feelings, Sokols, you know. We have feelings. We can get emotional about that. We have feelings in Poland.
Well, that's fine. I can. It's because we're British. We don't talk about our feelings. No, but Son, if you're listening, mate. Love to have you. Love to see you come over to the UK when you travel and stuff like that. Be really cool. And Daniela, obviously, as well. Cool. So, side note. Anyway, Joe, your turn. Let me again. I'll go with the joke here and scrolling. No joke. Right. Yeah, where are you?
Keep going.
That's fine. You did. So there were 67. What was it? 72 people. You did a me. And you finished pretty much back in the middle.
Yeah, but I didn't go 3-3.
It's because they had seven games. So you finished bang in the middle. So obviously,
but not a coin flip.
That's the key part. Captain coin flip. So you did seven games. You went 4-3. This is your first tournament outside of the UK. Yes.
Yes.
How did you find? Are you traveling out abroad to play like a Legion in another country, and how did you find it in general as a different experience? Because obviously, from my time going to Germany, tournaments and in Spain and stuff like that, tournaments are everyone does something a bit different, and it's really cool. So, what was your overall experience as a traveller?
Traveling out there was all right. Being stuck between Andy and Nav snoring on the plane is a wonderful experience. I'm sure you can imagine.
Anyone sleeping next to Nav, how you're staying? If you are trying to sleep and you're next to Nav, you've got magical ears that can turn sound off.
No, I didn't sleep. I just had Andy and Nav sort of snoring in one ear each.
Yeah, but, I mean, that kind of. I suppose that drowns out the noise of the jet engines.
It drowns everything out.
Yeah, it does. So let's go with your game. So what was your favorite game or favorite couple of games and moments? What have you got?
The last game was really fun.
So your last game, you were playing Wojciech Dunajec.
Yes, thank you for reading them out, because I will butcher these much worse than you.
I'm looking at the voice. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Wojciech Dunajec.
Wojciech Dunajec.
Yeah, he lives in Holland, I guess. Netherlands.
Oh, okay. Yes. So he's a bit like Kev, where he travels around. So that's okay. So he played Wojciech, and you won 4-2.
Yes.
On breakthrough. So that wasn't a high scoring game, but yeah. Why was that memorable and fun?
So we also did destroy enemy base, and
on breakthrough. That's fun. Yeah,
on breakthrough, and he put his behind his. Right hand POI in that corner, and I put mine in the middle of the board near my board edge, and he was measuring for the whole of the turn where he was going to infiltrate Vader, and then he can double move then burst onto it for turn two, and I was like okay, I'll leave that, and then last minute he decides to bring Vader on from the board edge closest to where I deployed most of my army, and I was like and sent Ahsoka and Bad Batch just to shoot and whack him, and left him on 1 HP for turn 2.
Oh, wow, okay.
Then killed him, started turn 2, And yeah, from then on, it was just a mosh pit of you take a unit, I take a unit.
Yep.
And it was, we were both at the start of it, we were like, let's just have fun. It's the last game. It's been a great tournament. And we were just, the roles were just, were just funny. I was hitting on everything and he was like not saving, and then he'd hit everything and I wouldn't save. It was just a very, very fun game. And the only thing that won me that game was I'd left my right hand POI. I was like, I'll just not deploy anything over there because the flutters can go defend it if they need to.
Yep.
And he put one squad of riots over there to charge it. And I put my ordnance down and rolled two hits and suppressed him.
Oh, no. Okay.
And that's literally what swung the game mainly.
Oh, okay. That'd do it. Not movement, no movement for you. So, obviously, you went 4-3. What do you look back on and go, shit, should have done that? Because I'm looking... So, you lost, so I'm just thinking, you lost game one to Christoph Hansel and you there. And who else? And you lost to Thomas... and Milos, and yeah, so what were your flaws there?
So game four against Thomas, yeah, that he was running Anakin and Yoda.
Oh mate, I'm just looking at the points. Yeah, so seven, you drew on VPs at 7-7, you killed 406, he killed 442. That's tight.
Yeah, so he was running Anakin and Yoda and Bad Batch, I think, off the top of my head. And once again, he deployed most of his army on one breakthrough.
Yep.
And he just put two AT-ATs on the other one.
Ooh, okay.
And I was like, I just need to do this, this, and this, and then he can't win. And I did all of that apart from moving my lat with the surface scan out of my base. So I didn't score the surface scan, which would have put me one POI, 1 point ahead, and no. He had no way of catching up.
Oh, you gumbo.
Yeah. So I killed Anakin turn two, started turn two. He dropped his scanner. I just tried getting Ahsoka to leg it out of there so she wouldn't die. And then, yeah, I forgot to move the lat. So play the objectives.
Yep, play the objectives. How did you find... So you... I turned to Severin and Cooper on this one. Do you see many flutters in amongst your world of playing? Because your man here is bringing all of the flying vehicles. And not only is he able to bring the flying vehicles, all the things that really could get broken in flight on transit. Were there any other flutters in about, or is it just him being a nutter with the flutters?
I mean, Evo was playing flutters, I believe, because Evo is like a devoted, very sad recently, but very devoted player of Wookiee Defenders. So he tries to do something with that. I mean, it's not that strong anymore. So it's vulnerable, but he plays flutters. But I don't recall anyone else. So I think maybe somebody got a flutter, an unexpected flutter in his Republican list, but just one unit. You know, just when you have to make some silly moves, unexpected turns and twists. But no, not too many flutters, to be honest. I haven't seen a lot of them on tables in Poland recently.
That's okay, mate. That makes sense. Obviously, we touched on the list we went through when we talked about the top eight, and like I think all of the CIS in the top eight all had Aquas. Are we? Cooper and Seven? I turn to you guys on this one, Joe, and in a second, Cooper, I'll go to you first. We've touched on the Aquas, but we've spoken about the last show. What are your thoughts on Aquas? Are they overcosted, undercosted? What do you think is the overall? What's your prevailing opinion on Aquas, really?
I think they are undercosted, of course. No, they're kidding. Yeah, they are extremely good, and you were saying about playing objective, and that's what my list does the best. He just played objective. I'm trying not to, you know, leave anything on dice. It's like, you know, if I can score, I would score, and yeah. So I have some sometimes I have some really extremely bad rolls, and I'm getting annoyed, and that's why I'm not playing Empire anymore, because it's like little pool, you know. If someone saves three times on the red or white dice, it's like, ah, why you do that? And I think the Empire list, it's not so good as B1s in scoring, for example, because when you think about B1s, they are, you know, they have 6 health, so Dooku can't kill them, Anakin can't kill them with a single shot, and they are, you know, they cost 38 points or something like that.
So
playing marked targets with the B1s, if you want to, you know, spend all your time to just kill 38 points, that's good for me, I guess. And yeah, Aquas are also very good, and I think they are not good because of their firepower, but they are really extremely hard to kill. They score a lot, and you cannot move them anyways.
Yes, because they're a vehicle. Even though they're called trooper, they are a vehicle, so you can't go force push or anything like that. That makes sense. Severin, same question to you. You play clones recently, so I assume that Aquas have been the bane of your life.
I mean, you know, not with my list, to be honest, because when you have like so much impact and pierce on lightsabers, you have Bad Batch. Under some circumstances, you can like still destroy the Aquas, right? So armor takes something, they don't have cover, like, so if you have a very good role, then you can try to do something. But actually, among all of the series, was the most popular faction at the tournament, and what I'm going to say as a very extremely proud father, that there were only two lists of CIS without Aqua droids out of 26 or 20 something CIS players. So one was Franek, my son, who finished 14th, and the other one was Sebastian, who was last in the whole competition, right? Yeah. So the only two lists without Aquas. I think they are too cheap. I mean, it's like when the new Legion arrived. When the new Legion arrived, it was initially the ARC troopers. They were extremely strong. So like a lot of lists, 501 playing four ARC troopers, and when they were got, the cost got increased just by a couple of points, right? So nobody plays that anymore, right? Because it's just not sustainable. You cannot maintain the quality, the size, the impact. The power of the list. I think the Aquas, obviously, they are too cheap. I hope they're going to get a bit more expensive during the November update, that is coming. But me personally, I didn't have too many problems with killing them because when you have a lot with armor piercing shells and Ahsoka with shotgun with impact grenades. So I managed to kill them whenever I play. I didn't play them very, very frequently. But for instance, in Peterborough at Chopper Race, I could not kill that Aquas. I had bad rolls and just could not kill those Aquas. So they can be pain in the ass. They weren't that time, but they can be pain in the ass for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely the case. Before we move to Joan, your questions, though, I'm going to quickly go. I've got some statistics for you. I don't know if you've fully examined them, but I'll have a little bit of fun here. What do you think was the most represented faction of the 71 players? What do you think was the most represented faction?
CIS, probably.
CIS, do you want to care to guess how many?
I believe there was, what, 28 of them?
23 CIS, 22 Republic, 14 Empire, 10 Rebel, 3 Shadow. Now, advanced list statistics in here. This is the bit that's quite fun. So Of all the droid games that were played, all the games that the droid list played, there are 160. Anyone care to guess what the win rate was for all the droids?
The CIS, right?
Yeah, for the droids. Sorry, CIS. So how many? What was the win percentage? How many games did they win? The percentage wise of their games, how many do you reckon?
I think more than a half, but not much more than a half, because of so many CIS lists, they need to play against each other, so somebody had to lose.
Yeah, so 51% win rate. So you're just right. You're more than half, but just over. So they won 82, lost 60, lost 78. What faction do you think had the highest win rate in percentage?
Rebels.
Definitely Rebels. Rebels
is the correct answer. They had 67 games. They won 42, lost 25, at a 63% win rate. Then the worst faction, the others all sort of are in with each other. So CIS at 51, Republic at 47. That's just a smattering in between. The worst faction was the Empire. Of the 93 games, they won 40, lost 54, so it's a 43% win rate, which is quite low. So the Empire are having a bit of a tough time at the moment.
I think that depends, because in the US, they play pretty well.
I need to look into some more.
I don't understand those lists and why the Empire wins at the US. I don't know. I saw the games and I don't know.
The most recent Empire list that was successful in a GT in the UK was Elliot Kimpton's list with his Remnant list, which, having played into, was fucking horrible. It's just like, oh, they've got tokens, everybody got tokens, and then in come big squads of stormtroopers with sonic charges, just go punch you in the face with lots of dice, and you go, what? And then all of a sudden stuff dies, apart from Rex, who saves 10 out of 11 natural saves, and I was like, what the fuck happened there? That's crazy.
But if you just stay behind the range, they have to move, and if you suppress them, it's not so easy, I think, and especially with the dark troopers and
it's hard, because they've also got now Imperial March, so they can go move, charge, so it's pretty cool. It does some clever stuff. So I wonder if we're on a bit of with the, and this segues quite nicely now into agents and stuff. I wonder if we're going to see a I wouldn't say a dramatic shift, but maybe see a small shift in terms of the meta stuff. Now, we spoke on the last show about the droid commanders and droid agent and the Jedi one. The Jedi one previous, and then again previous before that, the Imperial and the Rebel. Now that we've had time to sit and do theory crafting, what do we think is going to be fun to run, fun to test if you've had a chance to test it, in terms of the factions we'll have? So, Joe, I'll go with you because we missed you on the last one. You obviously love your clones. What have you been theory crafting with and why?
So I'm not overly excited by the clone generals.
Why?
Because by the time you end up putting points into them, I'd much rather just run Anakin or Obi,
right?
Or Ahsoka. So the only thing I'd look at taking would be one of the operatives just use them as a big beat stick and just charge them up and whack things.
I think that's a fair statement. Go on.
But I just it probably doesn't just suit my play style either. Of the general, you can make him into several different ways, obviously, of how you like to play, but I don't see how. I just don't see it benefiting too much. But I think that's probably just how I play more than anything.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Severin, what about yourself? What have you been crafting with?
I mean, we're actually working with some upgrade stuff, because we during our last big tournament before GT, we made like a starter pack. With the upgrades, new upgrades for new units, they are crafted with graphics, and they are crafted in small format, like, so you can use them as the old ones. So they're quite popular in Poland. So right now we're working on thinking about the new upgrades. So I went through all of them, and what I'm amazed of is the number of combinations you can make. I mean, you can make a lot of them. You can make a lot of them. Like, you can, and then in the case of Jedi General and then Jedi Knight, those upgrades, they interact with each other, all right? So one upgrade gives you, like, block. If you already have block, you take the second upgrade, also then you get outmaneuver, right? So you can craft them, you can customize them very defensively, very offensively. I'm super excited about them, because I consider that both the Jedi General and Jedi Knight, they can be killing machines. And the thing I want to try next couple of weeks, in December, we have the first team Power Championship of Poland. So we are actually, everyone is preparing for that event in December. So I'm going to try both the General and Knight and Obi-Wan. So I think there is some synergy between them that you can achieve. And as long as they help Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan doesn't have heart attack or a breakdown, mental breakdown, so then you can keep them alive for long. You can keep them alive for long. And as long as they're alive, they are deadly. I consider them deadly in a close combat. So I'm super excited about it, to be honest. I'm super excited about the combinations you can make. I went through the Imperial and Rebel officers and agents. I just don't play those factions, but what I see is like, wow. And one of the players who plays basically only CIS during the tournament, Alexander, in a break between the rounds, he introduced me to what those droids are capable of. So I'm terrified. As someone who's going to face them on the battlefield, I'm terrified. So I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited about it. And I think I don't consider the orders too powerful. They're good because of the upgrades. I mean, the upgrades give them a lot of combinations, but the orders so far, I haven't discovered them as something really, you know, unique and like a game changer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kuva, question for you. You're a droid player. What's better, Kalani or your own made droid, your own homemade?
Both. I think both. Because Kalani gives you the reinforcements and strategize. And I play against, on TTS, I played against some guy. I cannot recall now. Who was that? And he played Kalani and this guy, and it was disgusting, really. Like, you know, you make a speed two moves with aqua droids, so now you're on your opponent's POI, and then, but yeah, they have immobilized, but no, you can just remove the immobilize from it, from this card, and it seems to be very strong. I just bought, I have now the Rebel. And I haven't read it yet because, as Severin said, they are extremely. You can mix match them with so many stuff. And yesterday, I played again with this Jedi Knight thing against it. Okay, so here's mine. It's just, you know, still sealed. So yeah, you said about. Breakdown, and you know, my opponent just charged my arcs, and I have this peep two or peep one, I don't know, obis, and he can guardian in melee, and he rolls three blanks, and my arcs roll four blanks. And it's like, all right, that's how the story ends.
We've all had those
so that's
games.
That's why I think Gar, it's not in a good spot, because when they start every single lost, every single mini you lost, it costs you a lot. And when you lose the 20 B1s, that you're fine because you have 41 others of them.
Yeah, that I think I had this conversation with the good Reverend Porritt, and I said to him, is it me or are the Rebel and Imperial ones a bit meh compared to the Republic and CIS ones? And I'm trying to find out his response. I'll get it because his response was surprising. I'm just going to try and find it. He was taken aback. Well, he wasn't taken aback. He was sort of like, his response made me go, Jeff, where is he? So. Great buffs, tricks, support over substance. There it is. Is it me or are Imperial and Rebel agents a bit meh when compared to the Clone Wars era variants? And he said, it's still you. Both Rebel and Imperial are built to really explore and enhance the corner case units. And I said, what? Support over substance. And I said, but the droid one looks so multi-purpose. And he said, but Jeff thinks the droid one feels very, we ran out of ideas and there's nothing unique from between the commander and the operative, which I kind of get because those protocols are interchangeable. Whereas on the Rebels and the Imperial, you have two distinct, you have like the commander type one and the tip of the speary type one and all that sort of stuff. So I kind of get what he says. I really need to, oh, I'm sorry. And then he goes on to say, the example is, look at Elliot's use in Remnant. The commander stays at the back, moves, recovers if he has an order, and then that's three aims he's chucking out for exemplar, offensive, pushing, and improvised orders, all those sorts of stuff. Meanwhile, the agent runs around, lends the courage to the army without removing the independent and the aim dodge, while also procking retinue and all this sorts of stuff. So he has a point. They have a different place, if that makes sense. Whereas the Republic stuff is more beat stick and high combat-y. The Rebel one, and more so the Imperial one, seem to be much more, will give everything else a helping hand and make them punch more, if that makes sense. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I played, against Mikawai, and he had a steady, this Jedi thing has steady, and his saber froze. And it was like, yeah, but okay. Yeah. And then when you have high velocity, you can saber throw on your opponent's Jedi and or naked rebel troopers, and they cannot spend their dodges. And I think the amount of combination, I think it's really too soon to say anything true for what we will see in next 2-3 months.
Yeah.
I guess.
What is quite cool, and something to bear in mind, if you have, I was lucky enough to get some stuff that I had waiting ready to go. And I had the Imperial Starter Box, and I've got the Imperial Agent stuff. Now, what's really cool is some of the bits are, you can do kit bashing. Now, GW Games Workshop stuff has always been known for its kit bashing, and you can go, well, I'll take the arm off of that one, put it on that, and do some cool stuff. You can now do that with more with Legion. So I did that. So I decided to get, your bog standard stormtroopers. And I took, and in the box with the Imperial Agent and Imperial Officer, you get four capes. So I basically stuck my stormtrooper leader unit, they've all got capes, which makes them look pretty, they'll look a bit different, which is pretty fun. And then I took the arm off of one. So instead of it doing its little fist up, hold up, I'm just like, well, I should get him pointing instead. So they all look a touch. They look a touch.
They look great.
Which I think is really cool, which is different. So again, props on the modelling side. If you're a big hobbyist, there now seems to be a bit more opportunity for you to do some customizable stuff. And also, small hint: if you have a Rebel box and you have the Rebel agent, you can take, because you can only build two in the Rebel Agent Imperial Rebel box, the Rebel Agent Rebel Officer box that you have there, Cooper, you can only build two minis. You know, in a squad of Rebel troopers, you get the extra so you can make the super squad. Take one of those minis and... where is it? Oh, I can't see it. Take one of those minis and then take the variants you want to make of all the various of Rebel agents or officers, and use the spare minis to make the ones you want. So I've got the bloke with the J-Bo, whatever it's called, bloke with two pistols, and then the one with the heavy cannon. I've managed to put that on another rebel trooper and put some stuff on it, so like that's different now, because it's not often that I will go, I'm going to run like mega squads of Rebel troopers. So who knows? Just a suggestion for anyone looking to do that. Top tip. But yeah, that's about it, really. I mean, we've talked about the agents. We've talked about the Polish event. Is there anything anyone else would like to bring up and raise questions, really? Joe, you obviously are a listener to the show and member of our Discord. Usually seen typing "when" in our Discord far too frequently. This is your chance, your moment. What questions might you have to raise on the show that we might be able to answer without Andy and Ollie or anyone else around?
Not a particular question or anything, but I think I should, and I think Nav and Andy would both agree with me in saying thank you to Severin for our wonderful night out and his excellent job he did of just tanking Andy's day two. Which me and Nav were sat down in the canteen waiting for him to come down after we heard he'd lost. Just sat there looking at the door going, is he going to be grumpy? Is he going to be happy?
Did he cry?
He walked in with a bit of a smile and we were like, right, fair game to rip the shit into him now then.
That's good then. But hey, spirits were high. Where, Severin, what did you, where did you take them? What did you do?
Many secret places. I had a knack of
mine. Yeah, but I think the last one was nice. The last one was nice because it had, I mean, you know, the old town, which is like a lovely spot, and it's it was a big advantage of the tournament because we managed to organize, I'm going to show off a bit, we managed to organize, I work at the University of Warsaw, and the main campus of the University of Warsaw is located, you know, at the main road of the old town, I mean, the historic heart of the city. So we really had a nice place in a very good location. So then like we left and we take a walk, we stroll to the old town, and to be honest, which is not very nice at all, the old town closes around midnight. I mean, so we have like a lot of pubs, bars around, but not exactly within the old town. So we managed to find some like a local pub, but they said it's last call, we're gonna close soon. So we were that close of getting back to, let's say, the hotel. But then we found a place with live music, and it was like, but it wasn't karaoke. I mean, we were singing though, but it wasn't karaoke. Everybody was singing. It was a nice live music place, and we sat there like for 2 hours, I believe, sipping drinks with fancy names, like James Bond drink, something like that. So it was.
What's it called? Vodka martini, shaken.
Yeah, no, but no, it was called. I'm not sure, but it was called James Bond drink for some bizarre reason. If Andy is listening, I just wanted to say that if you offer good money, I will not share your photo wearing a crown. I will not share it. I mean, if you pay good money,
it's fine. I shared that.
Too late. Too late.
I've seen it.
Too late. Already
straight on the Discord.
Too late. Yeah.
The paparazzi were out.
You'll come also here, and we will show you some karaoke because, you sing pretty well, I guess. You know.
Thank you.
We'll bring him.
You're good at stealing songs, I believe. You're good at stealing songs. That's what I heard. That's what I experienced.
It's my.
That's what hurt me.
It says a lot. It says a lot that, like, it's like, oh, Cockles, he's the guy. He does he just helps the conversation in that podcast and sings songs at karaoke. Not very good Legion player. Does that though instead?
yeah. That's what Mateusz Cid said. You know, it's real.
At least you're known for something.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. You are the lat guy. I remember when I went to Germany. Guy. The Germans introduced me. They were like, they said something in German, and then I was like, what? And then they said, no. And then Dennis turned around and went, I was introducing you as a karaoke guy, and I was like, oh, thank you very much. So I was like, cheers, thanks for that, mate. So that was quite funny. But
thanks for kind words to do, if I may, just a second. Thanks for kind words to Joe. It was a pleasure hosting you here. And I really do hope it's going to be some kind of like a icebreaking event that we will encourage more people from UK because the flight connection is good. I mean, besides Wizard is crap, but I mean, the flight connection is good. And like, we would love to host you. So take your friends with you and please advertise the events. We have a series of events called Galaxy on Fire. So basically every second month we have like a big tournament for 40-50 people. So yeah, you're more than welcome, and we hope you're gonna spread the news because we enjoyed the event very, very much. We enjoyed hosting you, and we hope that we're gonna get more British players in next tournaments.
Do you know what I think of it as? I think of it as a little cultural exchange program. We go your way, you come our way, and it works out that way. Yeah. So that's quite fun. It's like when you're at school, who have you got coming over this week? That sort of thing. It was quite fun. It's on my bucket list of things to do. So I'm looking forward to it and stuff like that. So that's fun. But I think it seems like a good show time to wrap up the show. So Cooper, is there anyone you'd like to shout out, say thank you to, in terms of shout out a local store and any events you'd like to plug? Before I go and plug it,
Galaxy of Fire, of course, and I really want to thank you for all the guys who came on the second game, on the second day of the tournament, just took care of me, and you know, Severin, of course, and the other guys, just you know, say to me, stay calm, just get outside, take some fresh air, and be calm on the next game and next game, and yeah, big shout out for all of you because you make me, you know, to feel very comfortable, and I was really enjoying every single day. And of course for all my teachers, Michał Kalins, who is one of the organizer, he taught me how to play it, and to Severin, of course, and yeah, I hope we will see you soon here in Poland, and probably we'll, yeah, Severin just asked me 2 days ago or stuff like that. When will we come next year into summer abroad, probably to England, and said, no dubs, yes.
Well, you know, we've got, I'm contractually obliged, well, I'm not at all, Chopper Base open, blah, 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 next summer. Andy will tell you more details later, blah, blah, blah. That sort of thing. So he'll be on. That'll be on the agenda. So if you're listening and you've not been to the UK for an Everett event and you're wanting to travel or any, you've never been to an event, that's the event to go to in the UK. It's the, he'll Andy can host. I think I don't want to misquote him, but I think there's space for 124 players, but space to up it if we need to, if he needs to, and it's gone up every year. So if that's the one, if you're listening and looking to travel, do that. I would go amiss if to say that there's also the World Team Championships in Denmark next year. That is, I want to say beginning of May, end of May. I'll get my dates wrong, but it's May. So I might well see people over there. I might well see you guys. I assume you guys are entering and playing. There's a nod of the head. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, we had that in our calendars for sure.
Yep, so that's cool. But yes, there's that. But other, in terms of other events, I'll just give them a quick plug. So if you don't know how to look for an event and you're a player looking to learn, or you're a player looking to get into a friendly competitive scene, and I do stress the word friendly because no one's an arsehole, really. Sometimes. No one's an arsehole, really. We can all play for fun. If you go on legionevents.app and you can use the website, navigate around, and you can click on that, but you've got time frames, anything in the next 2 weeks, anything in the next 2 weeks to 3 months, 3 months plus, and then you can give a distance. And it all is on a Google map with pins. And if I zoom out, I'm just going to zoom. Right, here we go. I'll do UK first. So if you are in East Anglia, Saturday 22nd of November, Alpha Games in Stanton, down in Suffolk, that is a 1 day event, little friendly. Speak to Chris Smith, or speak to me, and I can help put in contact with Chris. Yeah, we've got that going on down there. Joe, would you reckon you'd be going to that one, mate?
Maybe.
I'm on the maybe list myself, to be fair.
Yeah, I'll have to double check on the dates for it, but
I'll find out that one. If you are in the south of England, Padawan's in Portsmouth, Saturday 29th of November, speak to Seb Ezra. He will help sort you out on there. If you are looking for the final, I think they had 5 tickets left for the Welsh Sheety in Cardiff. They have 5 tickets left, Saturday 15th of November to the Sunday the 16th. That is going to be off the hook, to quote Ollie and Andy and stuff like that. I can't make it, but there, that's 5 tickets left, and that will be fun. And you want to speak to Jose, the very Welsh sounding name Jose, you want to speak to Jose about that, and that's at Firestorm Games in Cardiff. And moving slightly further north into England, Beskar Bash, Saturday 8th of November, that is in Sheffield. You'll see such people as Nathan Hall and Liam Orford down there, I believe. That is the Act 3 of their stuff. Then they, let's see what we've got going on. Anything going on in Scotland? No, nothing up there in the next 2 weeks, 3 months, but there is something a bit further afield. 10th of April, Battle for Green Hollow. There you go. That's in. That'll be in Glasgow. If you click on the event, there's a Facebook link on there. That'll tell you what's going on down there. Let's go back to local. More closer time frame, further afield. We've mentioned Denmark, we mentioned again, Saturday 10th of January, Sunday 11th of January, the Nordic Tabletop Showdown in I want to say that's Aalborg? No, hang on. Yes, it is Aalborg. Aalborg in Denmark. Just going to put it out there. If you think Polish names are hard to say, try saying Danish names. So that's in Denmark going on there. That'd be fun. Then across the channel, the France Championship on the 8th of November and the 9th of November in, is that in Paris? South of Paris and down there. I'm just going to put out there, guys, Poland, no events on legionevents.app. You might want to sort that out, but guys,
excuse me, sir, we don't know internet here.
Is that the Amazon Web Service event that screwed it all up, is it, from yesterday? And then let's head over to the United States, where what we got? Ohio, 2 events in Ohio. Fight at the Museum charity event. I always love plug-in charity events. This is Saturday 22nd of November, the second annual 3-round Swiss style charity event. All proceeds go to the Akron Canton Regional Food Bank. That is a well worthy course. Entry fee $25, and because of it's a charity event, that is in Canton, Ohio. If you don't know where Canton is, it's in Ohio, and it's the home of the Hall of Fame for football, if you weren't unaware. You've got another one in Columbus, Ohio, Saturday, 6th of December. Toys for Tots charity. Lots of charity events going on. Big fan of that. Toys for Tots charity event. Recon Legion tournament, 3 rounds. Entry fee is a toy that is at least $10 in value. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, that is in Columbus, Ohio, in the region, funnily enough, called Dublin. That's quite interesting. And next up, last up on here, we'll go for another one, which is another charity event. Meeple-a-thon Charity Legion, Saturday 15th of November. This is to play 3 games of Legion, 1,000 points, as part of a charity gaming convention in Kansas City. I mean, I've just plugged something in Kansas City, and I'm not a fan of the Chiefs. In Kansas City, head down there that Saturday 5th of November, 15th of November. If you are hosting an event, head onto this website, legionevents.app, and you can upload your Facebook linking events type thing, and well, it just helps spread the word, get more events going, all that sort of stuff.
I think there is a tournament in Netherlands, in Utrecht, I guess.
Is it in Utrecht? Right,
let's have a look. Utrecht, so in that is 9th November.
But it's not on.
It should be.
I've just seen. I've got one for Rotterdam on the 29th of June. That was gone. So it's disappeared. But anyway, so yeah, if you're on there, have a look. Go on to legionevents.app. We can help crack on and get things done and get events going. And that means we can help international travel, whether you're going from Germany to Poland, France, England, wherever. It matters not. We're all having fun and we're all rolling dice. Severin, I throw the ball to you. Anything, any shout outs before we wrap up the show?
No, I just wanted to reply to Cuba. I'm just a friendly guy. That's the thing I say to everyone. I mean, that's what I said to Andy, 3 a.m. in the morning. Keep breathing, no worries, take a walk. So, no, it's so good. I mean, I want to thank the extraordinary team of Galaxy on Fire. I mean, it's really like quite a community, those people who stand behind the event. I had a pleasure to be part of it, to be part of the organizing team. This is a great, great stuff. And we all had a great time. So it's not like advertisement, but we really had a great time. So I wanted to say thank you to Michał, Ola, Kuba, Mati, Michał, a lot of people who really stand behind. And this is like, we share a similar story to Cuba, as a people who dragged me into Legion and taught me how to play. So yeah, I'm extremely grateful. And thanks for that. And thanks for having us here, Cockles. I hope we can promote our Polish community, mate, in the UK and worldwide.
Always a pleasure. Always love chatting with you boys. It's always a laugh. Joe, final throw.
Thanks to Severin and everyone for having us over. It was a great event and really good laugh the whole time.
Cool. And will we see you running lats at the next Alpha event?
Probably. I think I might drop down to one.
Disgraceful behaviour. Final things from me then. Thank you for listening. Thank you. If you're listening in Poland, I would love to say thank you for listening in Polish, but I try typing that in Google to see how I would do that. And I don't really know how to say the words, and I'm just going to see if I can hear it. Dziękuję za wysłuchanie. I can't say the last word. Hang on. Yeah, I can't say it. Not a chance. So thank you for listening in Polish. Thank you for listening for everyone else. If you're interested in and supporting what we do, please jump onto my Patreon. We've got a giveaway coming up to when Andy's back with the limited edition Obi-Wan Kenobi. That I say limited edition, it's the only one of its kind that we donated to charity from Justin Reed, and that's going to give it away. So if you're a member of that, you get some entries and all that sort of stuff. On top of that, we will be having the devs on to talk Legion soon. We were going to think in the beginning of November. Feel like maybe we'll have them at the end of November now, just because something might be happening, maybe points, because they said there would be. So if you're one of our supporters as well, and you're in there, you can ask questions and we'll pose it to them, and hopefully they will answer, because they have to be vetted first, but that's absolutely fine. Thank you also to Double Custom Cards and Comscan Gaming, who support us with the prizes and bits and bobs that we've given away. So shout out to those guys. If you like the tokens, like the poker tokens and stuff like that, speak to Comscan and And they'll sort you out. Trust me, they're good. And if you like your own custom cards, speak to Doble, aka Jordan. In other than that, then thank you very much for listening. I've been Cockles. These guys have been my guests because I've been left alone. But thank you very much for joining me, boys. Say bye bye.
Bye. Yeah. Cheers.
I'm just going to pull that.
Cheers, Mike.
Waving on an audio format was hilarious. Lovely. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook, That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon podcast.